What's up, everybody? Thanks again for stopping by for another edition of March 4th with Mike Bauman. I, of course, am your host, Mike Bauman. Whoever you are, wherever you are listening from, thank you so much for checking out the Badcast. If you're a returning listener, I greatly appreciate your continued love and support. And if you're a brand new listener of the show, man, thank you so much for hopping aboard that pirate ship. You can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod. I am on YouTube at March 4th Pod. My website is march4th.podbean.com. The link tree with all of my stuff is in the podcast description for this episode. So that means if you made it here, then you found me somehow. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you taking the time to check out another edition of March 4th with Mike Bauman Podcast. Man, I ate a bunch of chicken and I feel like I'm like out of breath. I feel like Chris Farley and DeBear's sketch. How many heart attacks is that for you now, Dad? Makes a baker's dozen. So, yeah, I don't know why. I feel like I'm knocking. Anybody under 30 is not going to get that reference probably. Anywho, I'm genuinely excited for this week's episode. I'm not even going to waste any time, man. I can rant and gab with the best of them, but I'm just going to... For those of you who know me, and you may not know me, maybe this week's guest brought you here, and if that's the case, that's awesome, because it's a fun one, man. But I'm a huge, huge, huge basketball fan. You guys can't see it because you're listening to audio right now, but over my left shoulder is a picture of Ben Wallace. Over my right shoulder is a picture of Michael Jordan. They are my two favorite basketball players of all time. And like everybody and their brother growing up in the 90s, man, like... I was a huge, huge Michael Jordan fan. Still to this day, Rock Jays, still a big Jordan fan. I actually have a Jordan flight hat on right now. I was rocking my white cement fours today. I had my first pair of Jays when I was in third grade, the white Taxi 12s. Nike, if anybody from Nike is listening, quick aside, please, please give us a proper retro of the Taxi 12s, man. Please, in OG form. Y'all did a great job with the cherries this year. And I have a great, great memory, great core memory with the Cherry Jays that came out in 97 as well, because my grandfather, may he rest in peace, love you, Vic. There was a display of some Cherry 12s in one of the sneaker stores at Northtown Mall in Toledo, Ohio. And we were there for like a Sunday matinee movie, because you used to be able to go to the movies for like $2 on Sundays or something back in the day. So I was there with him and my brother, Greg. And I think the Michael Jordan cologne had just come out in like 96, maybe. So that was fresh, you know, off the press as well. Excuse me. I'm telling you, man, I keep burping. But I remember I was rocking my Taxi 12s. But, you know, you were always a little envious of the new one that came out. You know what I mean? And the white cherries were like the new one that was popping off. And I was checking them out. And then there was, you know, a display of Michael Jordan cologne in the shoe store as well, right? Nice product placement, right? And I was, you know, kind of taking a whiff or two. And my grandpa just took some, put some on his hands and like slapped my cheeks, man. Like Macaulay and Home Alone slapped that cologne right on my face. And to this day, I still keep a bottle of Michael Jordan cologne. It's actually a nice scent to wear to work and stuff, man, because it's not super overpowering and it's like a clean, sporty scent. Listen to me talking like I know a lot about perfumes, but I got a lot of sentimental value with the MJ cologne. I digress. But point being, big MJ fan. He is my GOAT, and that's no disrespect to all the other greats who have played and are still playing this game at a high level, man. Huge basketball fan, but I'm also a huge Pistons fan. Went to my first Pistons game when I was 13 years old. It was my 13th birthday present in 7th grade, and so I've been a diehard Pistons fan, man, for almost 25 years now, which is crazy. And I know those things don't necessarily go hand in hand, and there's a fun story about it in this episode after I shut my big yapper in the intro here. But yeah, man, and that is one of the common threads, one of the biggest common threads that myself and this week's guest have in common is big basketball fans, grew up playing sports, and this dude is an amazing, amazing artist. I'm just going to get right into it. He is none other than Adam Port. He is a New York-based photorealist artist, and this guy's like clientele list is absolutely incredible. Everybody from Michael Jordan, Melo, Shaq, Ludacris, Ray Lewis, Justin Tuck, John Sally, Jay-Z and the 40-40 Club, licensing deal with the NBA, I mean, I could go on and on, man. Like there's so many cool works of his that you can see if you go to his Instagram, at Art of Adam Port, all kinds of sneakers from Jordans to Kobe's. It's incredible. I feel like I could have talked to him for 4 hours on this podcast, man. But it's cool when you meet people who you feel like it's just like that, like right off the jump, it's like, oh my gosh, this dude's cool. We have so much in common as far as, you know, being athletes, like loving basketball, loving MJ, an appreciation for art. Art was my first love, even before, you know, basketball and before writing and before journalism later on in my life. You know, drawing when I was a kid was my passion. I really loved to do it. Took some art classes for a little bit when I was, I think, in second grade at the Toledo Museum of Art, which is an amazing art museum. But this guy, Adam Port, man, you want to talk about art, you want to talk about artists. Again, this dude is absolutely incredible. I don't want to give too much away here in the intro, because we cover a lot of ground, but we really cover his journey from, you know, being a kid growing up on the East Coast, loving MJ, being an athlete, loving art, then studying it at Syracuse, and then an awesome opportunity he got to work with the NBA. It's incredible, man. It's incredible. I really feel like his story should be a movie because it's just so dope. Like as you hear how his career has unfolded and the people, you know, some of the names that I mentioned already that he's gotten to work with, the great work he's continuing to do. It really is awesome. And again, just his expertise and his dedication to his craft, man. He's one of the greats, and I just feel so privileged and so lucky to have gotten the chance to get him on this podcast. He took time out of his busy schedule and made time to speak with me, and I'm just pumped, dude. So without further ado, I'm gonna shut my big yapper and give you guys my conversation with artist Adam Port. Here it is. All right, well, Adam, like I was just talking about before I officially hit record, man, it's really cool to get you on here. I'm a big fan of sneakers, a big fan of basketball, big fan of drawing and art, and you are very accomplished in all of those things and what you've been able to do with your art, man. So thank you so much for taking the time to join the show. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you too. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome, man. So there's so many awesome things that you've been able to do in your career and that you're continuing to do. And usually where I like to start with people though, as far as just this show and kind of the theme of it, is just where the love for it started. So like with musicians, I like to ask them, you know, kind of what was the music bug that bit you initially and got you going down the rabbit hole? For you, man, how long has drawing and art been part of your life? And do you remember your earliest memory with it that really started the love for it?
Yeah, I've been, like every kid, we start off drawing in school, right? And I that's probably my earliest memory. And I just kind of continued throughout, school, getting older. And but you asked me where I kind of started. Everything kind of starts and ends with Michael Jordan, to be honest. My love for sports and art and sneakers, it all kind of stems from him. I remember when I was young, not in school, when I would draw, I would always just rip pictures out of like Sports Illustrated, and it was always pictures of Michael Jordan mostly. And so I would always just copy that. And it was really organic for me. So I was just always copying pictures of sports figures or even just portraits of anybody I could find that I thought was interesting. And that's kind of how it really started for me. It's really organic. I never really even thought about becoming an artist or taking it seriously. It was really just something I enjoyed on the side and when I had free time. And then I was a serious athlete growing up, so it was kind of natural for me to just gravitate towards those things when I would draw. So like I said, just taking pictures of Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and just copying those. And that's kind of how it really started for me.
So athletics wise, were you Hooper then? Big basketball guy or?
Yeah, well, I started off playing soccer and baseball. And then when I got to about, I'd say like 10 years old, so now we're going back to like 1988, which is like, kind of like the beginning of Michael Jordan, like his rise to being the GOAT. And yeah, I just fell in love with basketball but I continued those three sports throughout high school, and I even wanted to play in college, but at that point in time, I was really thinking seriously about what I was going to do after college, and that's kind of where I was like, you know what, I think I have more of a future in art. So I'm gonna try to find a really good art school, and that kind of led me away from sports. But it all started with sports, and I still play a lot of sports to this day. And that's, it's interesting. I see myself more as an athlete, or identify as an athlete more than an artist still, which is kind of strange because I've been doing it for so long. But yeah, it's always just always been sports for me.
As you went, you ended up going to Syracuse for their School of Visual and Performing Arts.
Yes. Yeah, it's so funny because growing up, I always loved Syracuse colors. So I always had the sweatshirt and all the t-shirts and sweatpants. And then when I started looking at schools, I was trying to find a school that had a good sports program and art, because I really wanted to do both. And Syracuse had that. And I at that point in time, I was really serious, most serious about soccer. And I was getting offers from other schools, like D1 schools, to play soccer, but I really loved Syracuse's art program. I met some of the professors at an event, really just clicked with them. I loved what they offered. I studied illustration there, and they had a really great program there. So that was, I just, I made the decision to do that, and I said, you know what, if I can make the soccer team, great. If not, this is kind of where I'm heading anyway. So yeah, I chose Syracuse, and it was great.
Yeah, because I know I went to school for communication with a focus in journalism, and did some sports writing and music feature writing, which led to me doing this. And I work in the healthcare during the day, so a little bit of everything. But yeah, I know Syracuse just from going to school for journalism, like them, OU, Northwestern. They're really known. Like Syracuse is like Broadcaster U. I think like Mike Tirico, people are from there.
Bob Costas, yeah, there's a lot of great guys that came out of there, yeah.
Yeah, so were you East Coast guy growing up then too?
Yeah, I grew up on Long Island, New York. I'm actually still there. Been here basically my whole life. I grew up in a town called Valley Stream, which is it's I so I grew up in Valley Stream, but I went to Hewlett High School, which is part of the Five Towns. And I don't know if you're an Entourage fan, but you may recognize Five Towns, because that was a Johnny Drama was in a series called The Five Towns, which was directed by Ed Burns, who actually went to Hewlett also. Yeah, there's been actually a bunch of like really successful, famous people who graduated my high school. So I've got big shoes to fill, but I always remember that. So yeah, so I went to Hewlett, and like I said earlier, I played sports there. I played soccer, basketball, baseball. And then during once I got into high school, it was kind of really when I started getting serious and exploring a lot of different artists, and kind of came my new obsession at that point.
Yeah, I know Valley Stream. I know Valley Stream because of Jim Brewer and his comedy.
Oh
So,
yeah. That's so
yeah.
funny. Yeah.
So he grew up there, and actually I have a cousin who lives there. Him and his wife, shout out Ryan and Casey. They met at Georgetown, and her family's from there. And I that was my first time in New York. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to spend time in the city, but when they got married in 2021, that was the first time I was there.
Yeah.
And it was more than what I expected. I mean, I knew the Big Apple was the Big Apple, but like flying into the airport, going by like Citi Field, and
Yeah.
I guess I should have known from the name, but just growing up in the Midwest, like I had no idea how huge Long Island is. Like it's its own thing in and of itself, outside of the city. I just had no, I mean, it's called Long
Yeah.
Island. I should have been surprised, but I mean, it's huge there, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, yeah, I grew up here my whole life, and obviously it's called an island, but I never really thought about the fact that I live on an island, because it is such a big island. So you don't really notice that you're on an island because of that. And it's only until when you have conversations or stop to think about it that you realize. And then or if you're looking at a map, you're like, yeah, there we are on that little island. But yeah, it's and it's only about where I grew up was about an hour outside of the city. So, it was a quick commute on train or even driving. And yeah, I never really thought about that.
Yeah, so you mentioned 88, MJ's really starting to take off. I just from being a big MJ fan myself, I was actually born in 88, but I saw like the 90s, the kind of more the second three-peat MJ was what I
Oh,
remember
yeah.
most, 96 to 98, because I really started getting into hoops when I was
Yeah.
probably like first grade. But you being a little bit older than me, man, you got to see the whole genesis of MJ all the way through, which is really dope.
Yeah, it was great.
The Air Jordan 3 is actually my favorite of all time, the white cement, which he
Yeah.
wore 88, and that was the famous dunk contest. But for you
Sure.
as a Long Island kid, man, I know for some Knicks fans, like it was kind of almost like sacrilege to rock Jays and be an MJ fan
Yeah.
because of all those battles with the Knicks. But was it one of those things just as somebody who was in the thick of it? And then obviously, like you said, as you were getting into high school, if you were 10 and 88, yeah, you were a teenager during that run in the 90s. What was it like to witness that, as well as all those really good Knicks teams with Pat Riley? Did you get a chance to go to any of those games?
Yeah, I went to a few games when I was in high school. It was incredible. I mean, it was very interesting for me because I was such a big Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls fan, and everybody, most of the people were Knicks fans. But in terms of like the sneakers, I mean, I went to a school where everybody had Jordans. Nobody was really rocking Ewings. Maybe a few people had some, Reebok pumps going on and some other sneakers. But yeah, it was all about Jordan. And it was great, all those battles in the early 90s and the late 90s. But at that point, I'm in college. But yeah, it was interesting. I always had the last laugh because the Bulls always, came out on top. So, but I remember the days where, like, if the Bulls lost to the Knicks, like, I remember hating going to school that day because I knew people as soon as someone saw me, it was, that was rough. But like I said, we always had the last laugh. And it was really great watching Jordan, as a little kid and then eventually as a young adult, because you see the game very differently, especially as someone who plays the game, organized basketball, and of course what comes everything that comes with it as far as the sneakers and just the hype and everything. It was incredible. But when I was in college, I think it was, let me think for a second, it was 1996. I met somebody at college who was from Chicago, so on the break we got tickets to go see them. So I flew to Chicago and I got to see the statue, and we got to see a game. I was all the way up at top, but it was a fantastic experience. It was just like nothing else. And yeah, I have so many great memories from growing up watching Jordan and the Bulls play the Knicks. And yeah, it was just amazing.
The NBA on NBC theme still gets me hyped. I know it's been like
Yeah.
commissioned. I think Sports uses it too for their college basketball, which I'm glad it's coming back. But yeah, I just remember watching those Sunday battles. I still vividly remember because I was 10 in 98, and I remember when he went to the Garden. I think it was his last game at the Garden, and he wore the Air Jordan ones, which they covered a little bit in the Last Dance documentary, and he had like blisters on
Yep.
his at the end of that game. But I
Yeah.
remember that game as a 10-year-old kid, watching the shot at, against Utah in my basement. Like, I was captivated by MJ. I have another photo. I haven't hung it up in my apartment because I never found like a good place for it. And I'm sure you can relate to that as an artist yourself. Like, it's about the art, but it's also about like placement and where it goes to. But I have
Course.
line dunk, the official Nike poster, and I have it in my closet still. But yeah, man, MJ was captivating to me as a kid. Him and Chris Farley were my childhood heroes. And I only got to see him once in person, but it was really cool. It was his I'm actually a Pistons fan, so I'm sure you can
Okay.
like you grew up in New York, saw all
Yeah.
the Rock Bulls. Like, I grew up a Michael Jordan fan, but then early teenage years became like a really big Pistons fan. I went to a game for my 13th birthday. It was a birthday present for my mom and my stepdad. And this is back when you can get like four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks, and like whatever souvenir they're giving away for $100. And you were in the upper bowl, but it was
Yeah.
$100. And
Right.
you're lucky to buy one ticket for $100 now, right? But
Sure.
my freshman year of high school, 03, the year Jordan officially retired for the last time, I got to see his last game against the Pistons in Detroit. And it was dope.
Wow.
It was cool. They gave him the mic before the game, and they had some crazy rivals. I mean, they were super. I mean, it was physical with New York, but Detroit used to beat the hell out of him, the Bad Boys back in the day. And they gave him the mic before the game, and I just remember him saying, and it was obviously a packed house because that was like his farewell tour that year. And even though it was Wizards MJ, he could still break you down. And I got a cool moment of him doing a fadeaway, but he had the mic before the game, and he basically just said, Detroit used to beat the hell out of me. I hated you guys so much. I hated playing here. I hated playing against the Pistons. But he was like, if it weren't for all those years that they beat me up, I wouldn't have won all those championships. And the crowd was like cheering and everything. So it was really cool to just see that in person as a 15-year-old kid. Like, because you just feel like you're in the presence of greatness, and you are,
Yeah,
like,
and you
I
are exactly.
wearing the shoes and stuff growing up. But
Yeah.
while MJ in the shoes, man, what was your first pair?
You know what's crazy? I don't even remember my first pair of Jordans. It's because everybody had Jordans growing up, and it was just but I also, being a soccer player, I had like the Sambas and the Gazelles and the Puma Suedes and the Reebok Pumps and the Jordans. So like I don't even know which one was my first Jordan. I mean, I have so many pairs now, but I really don't remember. But I mean, if I had to think about it, it was probably like the sixes or the sevens. But I can't tell for sure. It's funny, I was looking through some old photos the other day, and I saw myself like when I was like 5, 6 years old, wearing like, my parents were putting me in like Nike Cortez and all these great sneakers, but I couldn't find myself wearing any Jordans. And so I don't really know the answer to that, but I make up for it now because I got a ton of them.
Okay, so let me ask you, what are some of your favorites? And I know I didn't prep you for this. I know it's kind of hard off the dome because there's so many, but I guess, or let me ask you this, like, especially as an artist, maybe that's a more interesting question. Like, what's the most visually appealing Jays to you? Then, like, what are your most comfort or like your go-tos of your collection?
Wow. Okay. That's a tough question because, when I'm painting the sneakers, I'm trying to, I'm looking at different things. I'm trying to accomplish something, where if I'm painting the Jordan ones, there's if you find like a beat up pair, I gotta try to, get the cracks and all the the wear and tear, and the newer sneakers are a little bit more slick looking, so I don't know that I have a favorite pair to paint, but if I had to pick one, I would always go back to the Jordan ones. I just think it's so classic, and it just brings up so many memories for not only for myself, but I feel like for so many people. I think myself and most people, when they see my work, kind of gravitate towards the ones. As far as wearing, I guess it depends on if I'm playing ball or if I'm just, in the studio working or just walking around. I love the Air Max 90s, the ones. I've been wearing a pair of 95s recently, especially when I'm working. They're just so comfortable. When I'm hooping, I love the LeBron 9 lows. And I also love the Jordan 10. For some reason, they just fit my feet like a glove. And I got some cool pair. I got a really nice retro pair of the Jordan 10 Bobcats. Nice colorway. I gotta get another pair so I can wear them, because right now I only have one pair. I don't want to ruin them. They're just perfect to me. I love the colors and just so I gotta get another pair. But yeah, I guess it depends on the occasion what sneaker I'll rock. But yeah, those are a few of them.
Yeah, I never had a pair of tens, but I went to Chicago. You mentioned getting a chance to go to a game when you were college, 95. So right in before that 72 and 10 season, we took a trip to Chicago for a weekend in the summer. And as a 7-year-old, Adam, I was like blown away. So my mom and dad went there for St. Patrick's Day, I believe. And that's like a big deal in Chicago. They dye the river green and everything, but that was the year he had come back to basketball. And so my mom came back and we had like the I'm Back 45s t-shirts. I wore the hell out of that shirt. So going there in between first and second grade, I remember Michael Jordan's restaurant. There's literally like a mural of him flying through space
Oh
on the
yeah.
side of the building. And so when you're a kid, it's literally larger than life, and Nike Town So that was a cool trip. But yeah, the tens are cool. I remember I think at that time Tinker didn't know if it was going to be the end for him, so they had all of his accomplishments on the bottom of the shoe.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And it just looks like a classic 90s sneaker to me. It's such like a simple design. I know initially I think there was like a toe guard, and but MJ liked a clean toe, so they eventually got rid of
Yeah.
that. Some there's
Yeah.
some
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about MJ because I'm a big MJ fan too. But I think a cool transition just from this talk is, you mentioned growing up and still, as an athlete, think of yourself as an athlete first, and then this was something that as you progressed and got ready for college, you chose it as more of a direction. What was that experience like at Syracuse, man? Just as far as their visual arts program and really, owning your craft and getting it to where you are now.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. One of the things I loved about the program that I was in, and like I said earlier, I studied illustration. So they really gave us the freedom to kind of, create or come up with projects that really suited our style. And by that time in college, I had the way that I use an airbrush when I paint. So I was already kind of working with that medium and very comfortable with it. And as far as like what we wanted to paint at that point, any chance I got, not to go back to Michael Jordan, but I was doing paintings of Michael Jordan any chance I got in college. So yeah, they gave us a lot of freedom to kind of just paint what we wanted and work on, our craft. And I really love that aspect of the program. But also there was a lot of one-on-one with the professors. So you got really good feedback. And I think that really helped a lot because until you graduate college, you don't really stop and think like, how do I apply this to the real world? How am I gonna find jobs or do what I love but still find the projects that I getting paid for, to be honest. So, fortunately, while I was in college, I got connected to someone at the NBA, and that kind of started my professional career, so to speak. So by the time I graduated, we were already working our way towards getting a license agreement with the NBA, which was really incredible. So I just kind of continued what I was doing at college, which was doing paintings of Michael Jordan and other athletes, and I just kept going and just kind of never looked back. And that's kind of what I've been doing since, pretty much. But overall, Syracuse was great. I wish it was in a warmer location because the winters are pretty brutal there. There are days you don't want to get out of bed because it's just windy and icy and the skies are gray. But overall, it was a fantastic school.
Yeah, because I read, and thanks for sharing that with me, man. Because like I said, drawing was my first love as a kid, and I would draw sneakers and stuff. I did some bad MJ ones when I was probably like in second grade. I might still have some of those. I think my mom saved some of those. But yeah, I think that's really cool because, like you said, I think every kid kind of doodles, but then there's kids that really have an artistic ability and do something with it. And I really think it's awesome that you did because I think, unfortunately, and again, it probably depends on the school, the teacher, right, the environment, your parents, but some people really kind of shun that, and they because they don't think it's practical, right? They don't look at it
Sure,
the same,
yeah, no, I get that.
like healthcare or law. And so I think it's really dope that you took that love and that passion for it. And combined it with being an athlete and had the fortitude to go, hey man, I'm gonna go to school for this. I'm gonna go to a good program, and then being able to link up with somebody in college that kind of helped get you doing work with the NBA, which I read that was it a Knicks photographer around 2000? Is that the person you're mentioning, or is that something else?
No, that's exactly it. So, a good friend of mine had seats right behind the visitor's bench. So he's like, "Yo, I'm going to the game. The Bulls are playing. Why don't you give me one of your paintings? Maybe Jordan will see it and he'll sign it or whatever." So I gave him one of my paintings. That one was on canvas. So he rolled it up, threw it in a tube, went to the game, and he didn't get a chance to show it to Jordan. But I guess he was holding it up, trying to get him to see it. And one of the photographers who was sitting underneath the basket saw the painting and came over. They started talking and he gave him his card. So when my buddy got home, he gave me the card and he said, "Here's, he didn't get MJ." Actually, now that I'm remembering, MJ didn't get to see my painting, but my friend went under the seat and stole Jordan and Pippen's Gatorade cup, which I still have to this day. So that was really good. I guess if I can get Jordan to see my art, I guess that's a good second place. But yeah, so I followed up with the guy at the NBA, and I was able to get a meeting, and I just got really lucky. The director at the NBA Photos was a really nice guy, and he kind of gave me access to, this was before digital. It was like right before digital kind of came in. So when I went to the offices over there, they had this huge archive of just hundreds of thousands of photos, like slides. And I would sit back there and I would just go through the slides with my little eyepiece and just pull out the photos. And they're really nice. They let me develop the pictures. Remember, we used to have to develop photographs. And yeah, so I would start creating paintings in college based off of these photographs. So by the time I graduated, I had a nice little portfolio of these paintings, the NBA paintings, which then about, I think it was 2002, they took some of my paintings and put it in the NBA store in Manhattan, which was, someone who was just like trying to get their start. I was telling everyone was going to the city, and I had a painting in the window, my Allen Iverson painting, and I had a painting of Patrick Ewing. And yeah, it was just really amazing. So that was kind of like the beginning of my professional career.
Who was that person at the NBA? You want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, big shout out to Carmen Romanelli. Carmen Romanelli, he was the director of NBA Photos. He moved on to Getty Images, which later had a, they now have a deal with the NBA. So when you have to get these photos, you have to go onto the Getty's website, and you have to, get licensing and download the photo and pay a fee. It's very different these days. Back then, it was much simpler times. But yeah, Carmen was just like the nicest guy. He really kind of gave me access. I would sit back in there for hours, mostly looking at Jordan photos. But anybody, Patrick Ewing, Kobe, Iverson, all the greats. So yeah, big shout out to Carmen.
Back in junior high, I used to go to NBA.com and I would look at those photos. And they would actually, I remember on the website, you could look at the different eras too, like the 80s, the 90s. So I can't even imagine what it was like to actually be able to go through and see all those, man. That's like you're basically like my childhood of like what you're doing. I feel like you've been able to do all that. And shout out to your buddy too, man, for being in the moment and holding the picture up at the Knicks game. I feel like that's in life, right? The older I get, Adam, the more I realize, what's that old saying? Luck is where preparation and opportunity meet. And I just think it's cool that at
Absolutely.
that point you had laid the groundwork and you had already been working on because you just your love for the game and as an athlete and your
Right.
love for MJ and having that opportunity and shout out to him for stealing the Gatorade bottles too. I probably would have tried to swipe a little something too, especially. But no, that's sick, man. And one thing I wanted to touch on too, and thanks again so much for taking the time to do this, dude. I feel
Course.
like I could talk to you for hours, and I'm not going to do that because you're an hour ahead. And I really appreciate you carving out time for me, man. But I wanted to go back to, you mentioned this is something that you were doing in addition to playing sports. Was anybody in your family artistic, or was this just something that you had a natural ability and gift for?
There wasn't an artist in my family per se, but everybody in my family's creative or handy, or just my parents are always working on the house or fixing things up. My dad worked on cars, and yeah, everybody. I remember my grandfather. He was artistic. He wasn't an artist, but I remember seeing paintings on the walls. So yeah, everybody in my family is creative, but there aren't actually trained artists in my family. I kind of am, but now my family, now my wife is very creative. She's an artist, and both of my kids, they love to paint and draw. So I'm kind of like passing it on to them.
That's awesome. I gotta imagine for your parents too, especially as a kid growing up in Long Island, and you coming out of college and to see your work hanging up in the NBA store in Manhattan. Like, dude, that's awesome. What was
Yeah,
that moment starting to get those out there to people?
what's that?
What was that moment like? Do you remember what that was like and it, with your parents? Because I'm sure, they were proud, but just I'm picturing a kid growing up in Long Island, being an athlete, loving MJ, and then having the opportunity to start working for the NBA, and then to see your work in the NBA store, like I got to imagine that they were proud. That had to be pretty sick, man.
Yeah, I remember we got in the car and drove into Manhattan, and we went to the NBA store and saw it. And yeah, it was just like a amazing day. It was, it was like a dream come true. You know what I mean? It's like it's something that you strive for, like, or build up to get there. But yeah, it's like right out the gate, I was doing stuff with the NBA, and just to see it in the store, it was really incredible. It was amazing. Yeah, it's great, great. Great experience, great memories for everybody, and I'm sure they're proud. Yeah.
And I wrote down some names, and again, I'm going to share your website in the description for when this comes out. So everybody who's listening to this, please finish listening to the rest of the conversation, but then go down to the podcast description and check out Adam's links and his work, man. But we mentioned MJ, Melo, Shaq, Ludacris, Ray Lewis, Justin Tuck, and I'm a Notre Dame guy, so I think that's really cool. John Sally. Jay-Z, the 4040 Club, Elvis Presley Enterprises, the Basketball Hall of Fame, among others, man. And then I saw the Art Basel show. Was it a Scope Art Show in Miami? You had posted some. There's so many cool things, man. And again, I don't wanna chew your ear off, but I gotta ask.
You know what's amazing about that? What's amazing about that is that, as you list off the names, I'm remembering all the experiences. Like, there's a story for each one of those people or project that I worked on. And yeah, when you hear all those names, and it's really, there's a lot of fun, man. I met a lot of really great people. Most of the people are just fantastic to deal with. And you're dealing with like the best of the best, and generally speaking, they're really nice, respectful, and yeah. But like I said, there's a story for each one of those names you listed. So feel free to ask away. I'm happy to share whatever you're curious about.
Well, I gotta ask because I know you posted about his birthday, and mine's March 4th, and I think Shaq's is March 6th. And I saw you did a post on your Instagram. For people listening, again, please finish listening to the conversation, or you can multitask if you got your phone out. But Adam did a really, really dope picture of Shaq's first shoe with Reebok, and there's some cool pictures that you posted with him. What was it like meeting Shaq Diesel, man? Because I know he's got a big personality, and he seems like a genuinely good, gregarious dude. Like he seems like the type of guy, like when you meet him, he wants to be Shaq for you, but also being Shaq for him is just him. It doesn't seem like it's a persona.
Yeah, it's exactly that. He was the nicest, kindest guy, really personable. It was interesting because so what happened was basically I had this painting that I did of Shaq's first signature shoe for a show that I had for that we were planning an art gallery show in Manhattan, and then the pandemic happened, so the show never happened, but I had these paintings. So I reached out to, I had a contact at the company that he's with. And I said, "Hey, we have this painting. Let's do something with it. Maybe if Shaq signs it, maybe we could raise some money for his foundation and do something really cool with it." And it took some time, but they agreed. And then it took a few months to try to coordinate a time to meet. And now first I was going to send them the prints and have them sign all of them. But I wanted to be there. So one day on a whim, I'm like, let me see what his schedule is. So I went onto the computer and I saw that he was doing one of his DJ gigs up at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. And it was like 2 days from now. So I reached out to them and I said, "Hey, he's going to be there. I'm like a couple hours away. Let me get over there. We'll do it in and out 15, 30 minutes." And yeah, they said yes, which I was like shocked. So I packed up the car with all the prints and we went over there. So after his DJ gig, he came up. And I had all the prints laid out for him, and he was a little calm because he just did this huge set, so he wasn't, full of energy. He was probably a little tired, but even so, he was the nicest, coolest guy, and probably spent like a good half hour, 45 minutes with him. He saw the other prints, we talked a little bit, and he's like larger than life. He's just, that's exactly who he is. What you see on TV, what you hear in the interviews, he's exactly that. So it was a really cool opportunity to meet him, and yeah, I'm so fortunate to be able to do that.
And you mentioned doing portraits of AI, MJ, Mello, like being able to work with Mello. What are some of your just and again, maybe this is kind of a selfish question just because I'm a basketball nerd too, man. So, but what are some of the memorable experiences of that licensing agreement with the NBA and some of the people that you got to rub elbows with or meet?
Yeah, so probably the best experience was in 2005 during All-Star Weekend was out in Denver. So obviously back then Carmelo's just getting in the league. He's on Denver Nuggets, and I had a manager at the time who was connected with Melo's agent. So we I was going out there to kind of have this whole convention center full of all these different NBA, just like all different games. And I don't know if you've ever been to an All-Star game, but it's this crazy experience where it's just everything you could think of and more. And these days it's probably even better. But so I did a painting of Carmelo Anthony, and the coolest part was I showed his agent the comp before I started painting, and he looked at the sneakers and he didn't have on his Melo sneakers that had just come out. So he's like, "You got to change the sneakers." I said, "All right, but I don't have them." So he sent me a pair of the Melo 1.5s that he, his first signature shoe basically with the Jordan brand, and did a little, stuff in Photoshop and put the sneakers on, and then I did the painting. So and then went out to Denver for All-Star Weekend, and I was able to meet up with him. I showed him the artwork, and he loved the fact that I was able to get his sneakers on there. And that was really cool. That was a great weekend because I met so many athletes back then. I mean, think about it. It's Shaq, Kobe, LeBron was in the league, Melo, Dwayne Wade. I mean, the list goes on. I was able to meet all these guys. And the best part about it was I was doing something with the Players Association, the NBA Players Association. They had a huge gala during All-Star Weekend. So we took one of my prints and we put it in a room where the players would come and go. And as they would go into the room, they directed them over to the print and each athlete would sign the print. So I have a painting I did of all the All-Star players and all these guys signed it. And one of the guys who signed it was Kobe Bryant. And that was one of the coolest things. I didn't get a chance to meet him, which is, one of my biggest regrets, but he signed it and I'll never let that go. It's like my prized possession.
Yeah, rest in peace to Kobe, man.
Yeah, man.
And for people listening out there too, Adam has some great work that he's done of Kobe. One of them, which I thought was really sick, because I remember when they came out was the Nike Kobe ones. I remember that 81-point game. I had a tumor in my nasal cavity, and I was in the hospital. And right around the time he had that 81-point game, there was this kid, I think his name was Jason McElwain, and he was like a team manager. And I don't know if you remember that story, but he got into the basketball game and he hit like six or seven threes or something. Like just hooping. Like it was towards the end of the game. And I remember Kobe giving him a shout out and saying, "Hey, like I had an awesome game, but this kid had an awesome game," which I thought was cool. But I remember when those sneaks came out. And there's also a really cool photo on your Instagram of a portrait you did of Kobe, man. And just on that, like I wanted to talk to people about your artistic process too, because I read that you start with colored pencil and you mentioned the airbrushing, but you also use acrylic paint. How long did it take you, either going through Syracuse, man, or perfecting your craft to where, you developed your own style and your own way of doing it? Because there's so many different mediums. There's oil-based paints. Like, how did you eventually land on that?
So it's interesting. When I was starting to probably around 14 years old, 15, I started to really explore different mediums and techniques. And I don't know if you remember, they play them these days. Remember Bob Ross? Okay. So I used to watch Bob Ross on TV religiously, and half hour he had this fully, completed painting, and it blew my mind. So I remember I told my parents, "You got to take me to the art supply store. I got to get all the paint brushes and the paints and paint like Bob Ross." So they took me. I came home and I followed along one of his shows. And at the end, my painting looked terrible, just absolutely horrible. I was just not comfortable with painting with a brush. I think back then, I just started painting. Of course, I'm not going to be comfortable with it, It was a new thing for me, but I was really discouraged. And then shortly after that, I kind of, in a couple different places, discovered the airbrush, and I saw different people painting with it, and I was just fascinated with it. So again, I said, you got to take me to the art supply store and get me an airbrush. So I remember I went with my mom. She took me there, and I came home and I just started playing around with it. And for some reason, it just felt really comfortable to me. And it just clicked. And I just kept painting with an airbrush, and to the point where that it just became my technique of choice. And I just stuck with it. Every time I had a project and I would think, what am I going to use? I would just always go back to the airbrush because it was just something I was really comfortable with. And that's kind of how it started for me. And then while I was in college, I was kind of experimenting with my technique and trying to figure out, because I was looking at my paintings and it just looked unfinished to me. So I was looking at different artists and trying to figure out what it was missing. And I stumbled upon an artist. His name is Drew Struzan. He's very famous for doing all these incredible movie posters. He did, Indiana Jones and Star Wars and any poster from like the 80s and 90s that you Back to the Future. I mean, they're just endless ones. And I remember finding his website and looking at the pictures, and I'm like, looks like he's got pencil in there. So I did a little bit more research, and I found an article that he had in Airbrush Magazine, I believe. And he talked about his whole process, and I'm like, holy, that's my exact process, except at the end he added colored pencil to it, which really finished it off. And I went out, I got some colored pencils, and what do you know, I did it on one of my paintings, and it just came alive, and I just knew that's exactly what was missing. And that kind of like finished off my technique. So to this day, I kind of follow the same steps where first I'll do the underdrawing with like a graphite pencil. And then I'll start with the airbrush using acrylic paint, building up the layers. And then once that's complete, I'll go into the painting with color pencil. And that kind of brings it all together, tightens it up, brings the highlights out. And that's kind of the three-step process, I would say, to my paintings. And yeah, it's thank goodness I came across his artwork, because I don't know if I would have, figured it out, or maybe it would have taken me a little bit longer. But yeah, that's pretty much my process. And yeah, there you go.
I appreciate you sharing that, man, because I had mentioned to you there a buddy of mine from high school. Shout out to Pat, who's got a tattoo studio in Toledo, where I'm from, and went to University of Toledo for art. And he had kind of talked to me about his technique and what he studied in college, because he has really is really good at doing portraits, but the tattoos he puts on people are really realistic. And I said, is that hyper realism? And he kind of broke it down to me and kind of like the eras that he kind of studied in college and what they had paint from. And one of the things that I saw mentioned for your art, is it photorealism? Am I using the correct terminology? Because if for people who check out your art, I mean the sneakers and everything that you do, it looks like you're looking at the actual shoe, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, photorealism, that's exactly what it is. I was very influenced by the photorealism movement from like the say like the 70s. So you have artists like Chuck Close and Richard Estes and Audrey Flack and Robert Cunningham. And yeah, it's just using the photograph as a tool to kind of recreate it, not necessarily copy it exactly. I mean, you're not trying to fool anybody that it's you want people to see that it's a painting, but it all kind of stems from photography and using that as a guide to kind of recreate. Yeah, if I had to categorize my art, it would definitely be photorealism.
And I mean, for kids out there listening to this, man, maybe some younger people who are into art, again, I think that's why your story is so inspiring, and even my buddy Pat, because I just think it's cool that it's cool when people take something from their childhood and turn it into a career that they genuinely love. Like the outside of Pat, the only other person that I know on a personal level that's been able to take something that was a childhood dream and make a career of it is my brother Greg. He loved planes since he was a kid, used to draw planes, got a job so he could get flight simulator, and had the joystick and everything with the computer growing up. Got his private pilot's license by the time he graduated high school, and he's a pilot for Frontier now after flying privately for a little bit. So, as As somebody who drew when I was a kid, and our other brother Brandon drew, and my dad drew a little bit, I just think it's really dope, man, that you've been able to take it to the heights that you've taken it, and that you took something that you loved, and like you mentioned earlier in the conversation, it was one of those things where you loved to do it, and it wasn't even a thing of like, oh, I got to make this a career. And then as you got older and started to take that direction, and look at the awesome pieces you've been able to do, and the experiences that you've had. What advice, Adam, would you give to kids out there who are creatives, whether it's painting, photography, because I think your story is really one of, hey, just do what you love and the pieces will fall into place. Obviously, you got to put the work in, and you did, right? But I think it's important because, like I said, sometimes I feel like we don't inspire creatives enough, at least in my opinion. I think we hammer science, we hammer math. And those things are important, right? Kids need to learn that stuff, but music, art, photography, drawing, those are all things that I really feel like are important, man.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, you got to put in the work. I mean, if I was to, first obviously find something that you're passionate about. I mean, for me, I'm really lucky because it was really organic and it was just, I just found it, I loved it, and I just c continued with it and pursued it. But yeah, you got to put in the work. I mean, like you mentioned, your buddy who was a pilot. I mean, they have t how many hours, tens of thousands of hours that they have to fly before they can get their license. So yeah, I mean, you just find what you love to do and just keep working at it. And yeah, I mean, my paintings take, sometimes 100, 200 plus hours. There's no way around just doing the work, and you just gotta, stay focused and keep going after it. That's really, there's no shortcuts, to be honest. It's really just get obsessed with it and try to figure it out, and you're gonna make mistakes, and you gotta learn from those, and it's all trial and error. But yeah, I think that's the best advice I could give is just put in the work.
Well, before we officially wrap it up, and thanks again, Adam, so much for taking the time, man, to do this. Genuinely, I really appreciate. Like I said, I'm humbled, man, that you took the time to come by. Because I again, like I'm a fellow Jordan fan myself, big basketball fan. I always do my podcast in this setup, but I thought it was cool that you noticed right away the Jordan Ewing, which I didn't even think about that. I'm like, oh, he's a New York guy, and
Yeah.
that ended up being a lay-in. I don't know if that was a dunk or a lay-in. There's a
No, it
few.
was a lay-in. But listen, like I said earlier, it all comes back to Jordan. I mean, one of my biggest accomplishments was in 2009. That was the year that he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I was lucky enough to do artwork for the Hall of Fame. So I was there at the weekend when he had that, the infamous speech. And I was there when he got his jacket, and I was there at the dinner when I was able to present him and all the inductees with some artwork that I did. It's on my website. You could see it on there. But yeah, that's like the greatest thing ever. I was able to meet Jordan, and it was surreal. It was like a dream. But yeah, all roads lead back to Jordan for me, man. That's kind of where it starts and kind of where it continues.
Was Mike cool? I mean, I'm sure in that moment too, being at the Hall of Fame, but was he when you showed
Yeah.
him your work? I mean, I know he's impressed by greatness too, man. Like he seems like a guy like game respects game, man. So that had to be a
Yeah,
pretty
he was.
moment for you as a kid growing up watching him and stuff, man.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, I didn't, you never really expect to meet your idols. So when you do, it's kind of like I said, it's like a dream, very surreal. But yeah, he was cool. He was cool. Mike's always cool.
I would be remiss too if I didn't mention or try to ask you real quick. And thanks again, man. I hope I'm not hammering you too much, but like I said, I feel really privileged to be able to talk with you, man. And shout out to Ken for hooking us up. He's a really good guy, and I really appreciate
Absolutely.
showing to my podcast, man. But I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and since you're a New York guy, and there's one that I didn't mention, which is really awesome too. I gotta ask you, and even for the New York listeners, Jay-Z and the 40/40 Club. But also Ty Cobb sliding, because I know that was a pretty big accomplishment as well.
Yeah, Jay-Z 40/40 Club. I was there the night it opened. It was crazy. Talk about another like surreal moment. LeBron walked in, Jay-Z was there. It's just I was, hanging with Jason Kidd. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy experience. And the way that I got into there was I did a drawing of a basketball player that he and one of his partners was friends with, who unfortunately passed away, Malik Sealy. So I did a drawing of Malik, and that kind of got me literally in the door to the party the night it opened. So that was a incredible experience. And as far as the Ty Cobb, that was awesome too. I got connected with this company. They were an online auction house, and they wanted me to do some classic old school historic baseball images as paintings, and one of them was the Ty Cobb sliding. So I was working on it. They had out in Chicago, they have the every few years they go out there for a convention, the collectors, one of the big shows. And these guys had a booth, and I was there painting. So while I'm working on it, people walking by and seeing it, and then at the end, the painting went into an online auction, and it went for a good amount of money, which was fantastic. So it's always fun to do those things. But that's one of my probably one of my favorite paintings that I've been able to do.
And I know, was it recently, you were at, was it Carriage House, New York, with Jacob from the New York Rangers, who also does his own art? Like, how cool is that for you to see a fellow athlete pursue that as well?
That was amazing. That was a fantastic night, and that was actually the night that I saw Justin Tuck. So, which was really cool because so many years ago, back in like, I don't know, maybe 2010, give or take, I did a painting of Justin Tuck at a golf outing my buddy was throwing, and Justin Tuck was the host. So we presented the painting to him at the end, and then so when I saw him at Truba's event, I went up to him and I was like, "Hey, do you remember?" And he's like, "Yeah, I still have the painting." Which I thought was amazing because you never know what happens when, these guys get the paintings. So many years later, however many houses, but Justin Tuck was a really cool guy. But yeah, it was really amazing to see what Truba's been able to do with his art. It's obviously very different from what I do, but it's incredible nonetheless. So that was a really cool evening and a great restaurant too.
Well, Adam, this has been awesome, man. I can't thank you enough, as a family man, and as a guy who does all of the work that you do and commission pieces, everything, man. It's been cool, to learn more about your story. And the last thing I'll ask you is just with the theme of the show being perseverance and moving forward with March 4th. You talked about your journey, but for anybody out there who maybe is at a low point, not to turn you into like Barbara Walters or anything, but for anybody out there who's at a low point or is struggling, I there's highs and lows and peaks and valleys, right? And I'm sure there's been some in your life and your career. Is there anything that you want to share about your journey that you think might be applicable to somebody out there who's struggling, whether they're a creative, musician, artist, a tough time, and what ultimately got you through it?
Yeah, I think with anybody's career or life, I mean, there's always ups and downs. I've been fortunate enough to work on a lot of projects over the years. Some of them have been very successful, and some of them have not been. And you just have to try to learn from it and keep going on. And as long as you're doing something that you love and you're passionate about it, you just got to keep pushing forward. March 4th, that's really. That's exactly what it is. Like I said, sometimes things don't work out, but you gotta just keep going forward and figure out, the next time an opportunity comes, how are you gonna make it better? How are you gonna avoid the mistakes that you maybe, that happened the first time around? But yeah, just keep going. Tomorrow's a new day, and you just gotta get up and keep going forward, man.
Well, Adam, this has really been awesome, man. I greatly appreciate the time. I feel like I could talk to you for like 700 hours about NBA and MJ and all that. And hopefully this won't be the last time we speak, but I want to be respectful of your time. And again, I for real, like I my brother's got kids. I know what that's like, man, with well, I don't know what it's like. I don't have kids, but seeing him with my niece and nephew, man, I know that's a gig in and of itself, in addition to your career. So I genuinely can't thank you enough for carving out an hour of your time and being as communicative with me as you have, and sharing your story and your journey with myself and the listeners, man. I have a ton of respect for what you're doing, genuinely. I feel really grateful. Again, shout out to Ken that he linked us up and that you made time for me.
Absolutely.
The links in the podcast description for people who aren't aware, but for people who might be new to you, man, with this show and getting put onto your art, let them know where they can find you, man.
Yeah, they can find me. Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate you for reaching out to me, and yeah, I've been able to listen to some of your episodes. I love the podcast. You know, I really do. I appreciate you. I respect you, and thank you for having me on. You know, I spend a lot of time by myself in my studio, even though it's a home studio with my family a lot. You know, I really do spend a lot of time by myself painting. So any chance I get to you know, communicate and chat with guys and talk about some of my you know, projects that I've worked on, some cool stories, you know, I really do have a lot of fun. So I appreciate you. But yeah, as far as where they could find me, they can see me at adamport.com, and on Instagram it's art of Adam Port. And yeah, that's it, man. That's pretty much where they can find me.
Well, Adam, thank you again. And thank you again for the kind words, man. I really appreciate it. You never know who you're going to come across doing these things, man. And I go through my ups and downs with the show too, but it's been really awesome over the past few years as it's grown incrementally, a little by little every year, to be able to connect with great people like you, like Ken, and the people I've had on my show, man. So you're welcome back anytime. Definitely keep in touch, man. And yeah, keep doing your thing, man. I know you've been doing it for a long time, but there's so many stories. Like there's so many stories I'm sure you could share, but I appreciate you sharing the ones that you did with me and the listeners here today, man. I'm genuinely a big fan of what you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll have to do a part two.
For sure, for sure. Thank you again so much, Adam. I really appreciate it, man. And again, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate it. And keep doing your thing, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Thank you too. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
All righty, dighty. There you have it. That was my conversation with artist Adam Port out of New York. Make sure you go follow this guy on Instagram at Art of Adam Port. His website is adamport.com. The links to all of his stuff will be in the podcast description for this episode. Man, what a fun one, man. And again, I love all the episodes I get to do, and I love music, as a lot of you know. You know, and again, if this is your first time on the pod checking it out, if Adam brought you here, thank you so much. But I have a lot of musical guests on the show just because music is another one of my loves, man. But basketball will forever be, if I live to be, God willing, 88. You know, if my years on this earth match the year that I was born, and I'm fortunate enough to get there and still be intact and have most of my mind with me, I hope so. Basketball will be one of the greatest loves of my life, man. And it was just so cool to geek out with Adam about his story and his journey. You know, growing up again as a kid in the East Coast, you know, playing sports, you know, competing at a pretty high level, and then also alongside of that, pursuing his love for drawing and art and studying at Syracuse, which is obviously a great institution, a lot of basketball history in its own right, and then getting the opportunity to work with the NBA. Like, I was picturing that moment when he was talking about, you know, going into the city and seeing his work hung up, you know, in the NBA store. Like, that is just what a cool moment for him and his family, man. And again, all the work that he's gotten to do since. And once again, I plug in his stuff, man, adamport.com. If you don't have Instagram, but at Art of Adam Port, it's incredible, man. When you see the work that he does, it's insane. You know, his drawings and his paintings, I mean, it looks like the actual people or the actual shoes, and it's truly incredible. So Adam, I just want to say thank you again so much, man, for taking the time to come on the podcast. We got to get you back on for at least a part two, man, because again, like the creative side of me and just the basketball nerd in me, there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. And I feel like, again, we could talk for like 5 hours, man, but, I was just picturing you going through the archives of all the awesome NBA photos. Like you were sharing, you know, in one of the parts of our conversation, man. And it's just, like, the little kid in me was just going nuts, because I'm like, man, I remember, you know, drawing a picture of Ben Wallace in high school, drawing multiple pictures of the Jumpman logo and MJ growing up. I still have the 1988 dunk contest poster of him jumping from the free throw line. I've got, like I said, I've got one of him going over Patrick Ewing over my right shoulder, which Adam noticed before we hit record. You know, and ironically, man, and this was totally unplanned, this episode dropped on the 23rd. As it's hitting y'all's eardrums right now, it is the 23rd. So the universe is, the universe has our backs, man. You know what I mean? I know we all have our good days and our bad days, but there's just cool synchronicities if you have your antenna tuned. And I thought it was just a cool kind of serendipitous thing that that this podcast is coming out on the 23rd, right in the middle, right in the beginning, rather, of the NBA playoffs, man. So Adam, thank you again so much for your time, man. I know you're a busy guy. You're a family man. And I know you're in demand, and it was just so cool getting a chance to catch up with your brother. And again, you're welcome back anytime. And it's cool when you feel like, you know, to steal a phrase from Michael Rosenbaum, who also has an amazing podcast. Make sure you go check him out. Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum is great. But he used a phrase one time with one of the conversations on his show where he's like, it's cool when you meet new old friends. And I feel like I've met a new old friend in you, Adam. Like, I just, again, just the common ground of just a love and appreciation for hoops, for MJ, for art. Obviously, you've taken it way beyond, you know, my drawings when I was in second grade, man. But I'm so grateful to get you on the show. And we got to give a big shout out to a mutual friend, Ken, man. Thank you so much for being the link and the conduit to Adam and I, man. Like, Ken has been a big supporter of the show. He's somebody that hit me up back in February. And it was during a tough week too, man. And, you know, you do these episodes and you know, even though I can see downloads and stuff and where they're coming from, you never truly know who's listening out there and who you're connecting with. And, you know, you do enough of these and sometimes you wonder where it's going, what am I doing, purpose, all these things, right? And I've been fortunate enough to get some recognition online. Shout out to the Nashville Voyager and their associated online, you know, press outlets that feature, you know, creators like myself who are a little more on the underground side. They've been great and I truly appreciate them spotlighting me multiple times. It really is a blessing, but you never know who's checking out the shows, man. You never really know who's listening. And Ken contacted me out of the blue, man. And I was having a rough week, you know, and it made my day. He had really kind words about the show, about how he connected with it, about how he connected with the theme of persevering and moving forward and march forth. And he linked up Adam and I, because, you know, he heard me talk about my love for sneakers in one of my episodes on one of my rants. And here we are, man, with a podcast with Adam Port and getting a chance to share his story. You know, again, New York-based photorealist artist who's just a really kind, down-to-earth dude. And it's just cool, man. It's cool. So, you know, my advice to anybody, not that you ask for it, is when people knock on your door and they're good people, let them in, man. You know what I mean? Open those doors, shake those hands, and have conversations with those people. You know, I'm somebody that can get my own way and swim upstream sometimes in my life with anxiety and stress and obsessive compulsive tendencies and whatnot. And, you know, sometimes ruminate too much on the past, whether it's mistakes or past trauma. And, you know, I've really tried so far this year to pay more attention to the light that's trying to come in and the good people that are coming to my doorstep, man. And Ken is one of those people, and Adam is another one of those people through Ken. So thank you both, gentlemen. I really appreciate you guys, man. And I'm fortunate and blessed to have connected with you. And I'm just so grateful, man. I'm grateful for the light that's shining right now. Not even to sound cheesy, man. And I just feel really, really blessed and really grateful in this moment. So hold on to that. To everybody out there, you know, if you're struggling right now, if you're having some dark days, whatever it is, relationship, heartbreak, maybe a death of a loved one, you know, maybe you're trying to find your way through your career, job, all those things. Keep your head up, man, because I promise you it gets better, man. Just take it one day at a time and follow the light, follow the North Star. We all have one, man. And, you know, when one door closes, the other one opens, another one opens, you know what I mean? That old saying. And there's a lot of good people, like I said, who have been at my doorstep this year. And I just feel fortunate for the connections that I've been able to make, because these are two really good dudes right here. So once again, thank you to Ken. Thank you to Adam Port. Please go follow him on Instagram at Art of Adam Port. And again, his website, if you want to learn even more than what you heard today and check out more of his clientele list and see photos of his work, go to adamport.com. That is going to be a wrap on this week's episode, y'all. If you are a first-time listener, because Adam brought you here, once again, thank you so much for hopping aboard the pirate ship. If you want to support the show, one of the things that you can do that would go a long, long way in helping this episode get out to more people is if you like and subscribe on whatever podcast service brought you here. On Apple, you can leave a rating and a review. On Spotify, you can leave a rating. All those things go a long way in helping the show get out to more people. And that's what I want, man. I want to put more people onto Adam because, again, if you love hoops, if you love sneakers, and if you just love damn good art, man, this dude is dope. And I feel like there's a much more eloquent way to say it. And I just don't have the words right now, guys. But yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all of you. And yeah, what a show. What a time to be alive, man. I'm going to officially wrap things up. As a tribute to my grandfather, who I mentioned at the jump, one of the guys that's always been in my corner, I'm blessed to share his name. And like I said, to tie it all together, the show coming out on the 23rd, to this day, I still keep a bottle of that MJ cologne, baby, because I had that moment with my grandfather in Northtown Mall in 1997, checking out some Cherry J's. And once again, if anybody from Nike's listening to this, dudes, We gotta get the OG 12 taxi to come back, please, please. But yeah, one of the things that he said in his life, you know, that my mom reiterated to me. My grandpa was a great guy, man, great guy. Everybody loved him. He was a genuine dude, and I learned a lot about how to treat people from him. And one thing he always said was keep the faith and be kind to one another. So that's how I wrap up every episode. Keep the faith and be kind to one another. I love you all. I will see you on the next one. Peace.